I trust that video was a blessing to you, and God willing, we will hear from our brother Glenn on the Lord's Day as he comes to speak more about the work that the Lord's called him to, and also then hear a message that the Lord has laid upon his heart. But if you could turn with me, please, to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5. You'll get to, of course, Romans and Corinthians, and then you get to Galatians and Ephesians, and you'll get to Philippians and Colossians, and then you'll get after Colossians to Thessalonians. You get to Timothy or Titus, you've gone too far. First Thessalonians, and we will commence reading at chapter 5. And the verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, entering there at the end of the chapter. Upon listening to that video earlier on today, and then praying what the Lord would have me to speak upon, this phrase in verse 25 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 came to my mind. The Apostle Paul was one who desired and he asked, brethren, pray for us. And so just for a few moments I want to look at Paul's request of the people of God that they would pray for him. I want to apply it indeed to our brother, Mr. Glenn Hamilton, and indeed, of course, the same could be applied to all of God's missionaries. But may the Lord be pleased to bless as we look upon his precious word. Let's just bow briefly in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for what we have heard in the video. We thank thee, Father, for thy leading and thy calling in salvation to Glenn and to Emma. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst lead them on in the work to which thou hast called them. Use them as instruments in thine hand. Provide for their every need. And Lord, be pleased to provide for their children. You know all the needs. Physical, emotional, spiritual. Lord, help us be those that are faithful in praying for them. Bless now this truth that we find in your precious word. Apply it to our hearts. Make us faithful in the place of prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Many of you will know the name of William Carey as being the father of modern day missions. But did you know a little bit about the background of William Carey? William Carey was born in August of 1761. And at the age of 24, he was appointed as a schoolmaster. During his time there, he was also appointed as a local Baptist pastor. of a small church. And during that time, he read the journals of the famous explorer, James Cook. And as he heard about this man going throughout different parts of the world, meeting people and tribes and places, the heart of William Carey was deeply burdened. William Carey was concerned about those in this world that never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. William Carey was so burdened that he spoke with his fellow Baptist pastors. He spoke to them of their need to do what they could to see the gospel spread among all the nations. And he believed that it was indeed the duty of not just one or two, but of all Christians to see that the gospel was heard and declared among all people. One of his close friends, a very godly man called Andrew Fuller, was so taken aback by what William Carey said that he said, "If the Lord makes windows in heaven, might this thing be?" What Andrew Fuller meant was this: William Carey, it's not likely to ever happen that the gospel be spread among all the nations. The world is just so big and the heathen are so dark. It would take the Lord to open up his very windows in heaven and pour out a blessing beyond what we could ever imagine for the heathen to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just so impossible. William Carey, while he was discouraged and he never gave up, he was so burdened with this great need that he saw before him. And at the age of just 31, he would publish what is now known as his groundbreaking missionary manifesto, speaking from Isaiah 54, how indeed the prayer was that we should spare not, how we should lengthen our cords, and we should have a greater vision of the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave, that the gospel should go into all the world, and the disciples should be made from every tribe and tongue and nation. William Carey, in that sermon, he had two headings. The first was this: expect great things from God, and then attempt great things for God. William Carey knew that from a human perspective, we couldn't do anything. Only God could bless us. Only God could get the gospel into all the nations. But we must expect God to do that. If he's given the calling, then we must expect that God will get the gospel into all nations. And as a result, we must then attempt great things for God. William Carey, writing pamphlets, preaching sermons, making appeals, eventually, after time, others began to get the vision. Indeed, his friend Andrew Fuller, who was once one that saw the idea of the gospel going into all the worlds to be an impossibility, began to see the vision, began to get the burden. Andrew Fuller, thinking upon India, he said to William Carey, "There is a gold mine in India." Not referring to a physical gold mine, but referring to a spiritual one, the gold mine of souls. But yet Andrew Fuller went on to say, "While there is a gold mine in India, it seems as deep as the center of the earth." William Carey replied and said, "I will go down that mine, but you must hold the rope." Mining is one of the most difficult and dangerous jobs in the world, especially in the 1700s. And yet, William Carey knew that if he was going to go down the mine, to seek to win the greatest treasure that could ever be found in this earth, one that would bring satisfaction to the Lord Jesus Christ, the travel of his own soul himself, there would be a need for those back home to hold the ropes. And I believe that's the heart of the Apostle Paul here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Whenever he turned around and besought the church of Thessalonica, and he said, "Brethren, pray for us." You see, Paul was a missionary. He was going from place to place, planting churches, preaching the gospel, yet while he was out doing that, he knew that there were those who had needed to pray for him. He knew there was a great need for those to hold the ropes. And so let us just look at this phrase for a moment or two. This request for prayer, one that can be applied to you and I this evening. And the first thing I want you and I to note is this, that it is right to pray. Why did the Apostle Paul ask the Thessalonians to pray for him? And the first truth is this: because it is right to pray. Inspired by the very Spirit of God in his letter, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, "Brethren, pray for us." The word for pray there is an imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a bit of guidance or a piece of advice. It is a command. Pray for us. Now, the Apostle Paul was one who prayed, indeed asked for prayer on many occasions. In fact, at least 8 that we can find in the Scriptures. Again and again, he would ask people, pray for us. You see, it is right for us to pray. In fact, if you want to turn me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. One of the greatest well-known prayers in the entirety of the world. The disciples, when hearing the Lord Jesus himself praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus Christ taught them to pray. Jesus Christ said these words, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think it's why it's important to note that in verse 10 of this prayer, Jesus Christ desires that the will of God is done not merely in the local place, but indeed throughout this earth. And therefore you can see within verse 10 even that missionary vision. Yet the point of turning you to this chapter of Matthew's Gospel is this. Jesus Christ, he taught his disciples to pray, our Father. Not my Father. Whenever we come to pray, we'll often pray about my Father, my Savior, my God. And while there's nothing wrong with that, Christ wants us to pray our Father. And of course, yes, you can take the lesson there that whenever we pray, that we don't just pray ourselves, we pray with Jesus Christ. We pray through his name. And we are the children of God because of Jesus Christ, to whom we are united. And so rightly we can pray not merely my Father, but because of Jesus Christ, our Father, I come in him, Lord. But yet, the plurality that's found in this great prayer that we have been taught to pray refers also to the people of God. Look with me there at verse 11. Does not say, give me this day my daily bread, but give us this day our daily bread. And so Jesus Christ teaches that whenever we pray, we're not just to pray for ourselves, we're to pray for God's people. As God's kingdom will come throughout this world, the salvation of souls, and as he reigns as king in people's lives, we are to pray, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. It is right for us to pray, not merely for ourselves, but for others. You turn me, please, now to Isaiah 59. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, you and I will find a very fascinating reality. Simply that God himself is looking for intercessors. Those who will pray for others. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is the great intercessor, but God himself is looking for us to be intercessors, for us to pray for others. Isaiah 59, after being told in the middle of verse 14 that the truth is fallen in the street, and in verse 15, the beginning of it, the truth faileth. You look at me, please, at verse 16. We read regarding God, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. The work of God was in need. And God, as he looked down from heaven upon his people, God wondered that there was no intercessor. The work of God was in need. This nation needed God to work in it. And God wondered. He was amazed that among his people there were no intercessors. God is the one who is looking for intercessors. Not just to pray, give me my daily bread. Forgive me and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil. And God is looking for those who will pray for others. Give us, forgive us, deliver us lead us. And turn with me, please, also to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 22. This truth is reinforced. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 22. This is a well-known verse, but I wonder if you have seen this particular aspect of it before. Ezekiel 22 and the verse 30. God again is the speaker. The context again is a land that needs God to work in it. God says in verse 30 of Ezekiel 22, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap." Now you and I have heard that preached many times about how indeed this God is the one who's seeking for someone to stand in the gap, to be that witness in the land. Just like in the days of Isaiah, the truth faileth, and the truth falleth in the streets, and the truth needs to be reclaimed. God needs those who will stand in the gap to preach the word. And rightly so. But look with me again at this text. God is the speaker, and he says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me." Before me. Before my face in prayer. Oh yes, God is looking for those three missionaries to stand in the land to preach the gospel. But here it is, to stand before me, before my face, that I should not destroy that land. But I found none. Men and women, why did the Apostle Paul ask the Thessalonians to pray for him? Because it is right to pray. It's right to pray for those that are missionaries. God is the one who's looking for intercessors. He is the one who is amazed when he sees among his people that there's none. He is the one who wants to see those who will stand in the gap before him and who will pray for those lambs that greatly need God to work. God is looking for people to pray. The Apostle Paul was the one who made this request, "Brethren, pray for us." One person has said, some can go to the work of the mission field. Many can give to the work of the mission field. But all can pray for the work of the mission field. You look with me again at the text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You turn back, please, there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, brethren, pray for us." In verse 27, we read, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." This letter of Paul is to be written to all the holy brethren, all those who are called apart, set apart unto God. Now look me, please, at chapter 1 and the verse 1, the introduction to this letter as Paul writes it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians." Who are the holy brethren? Who are the brethren beloved? Find in verse 4. It's those who have the election of God. It's those that are saved. It's those that are men. It's those that are women. It's those that are young. It's those that are old. Paul addresses this letter to the entirety of the church. And his request to the entirety of the church, not just to the elders, not just the deacons, not just to those who are known for prayer, but to everyone, brethren, every one of you, all holy brethren, all called to the election of God, every one of you, brethren, pray. Pray for us. This is the passage that the Lord has laid upon my heart whenever I thought upon our brother Glenn Hamilton and his wife Emma, and indeed their children, as they go out to Kenya. May this ever be impressed upon our hearts. Why should we pray for them? Because it is right to pray. God is looking for intercessors. For us to fill the gap, to stand before the face of God. Notice with me a second reason why Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him. One, because it is right to pray, but second, because it is needful to pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us." If you want to turn me, please, to 2 Thessalonians, in the chapter 3. The Apostle Paul will again ask prayer of this church. And at the end of his second letter, Paul will write, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Just as God has blessed his word among you, established the church, raised up structures, raised up elders, raised up deacons, just as the Lord has worked in your families, Lord, pray for us. That as we minister here in other places, as we seek to plant churches, the Lord will work here too. But also, verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, or indeed the faith. And as Paul went from place to place, he knew that there would be those who would not believe the gospel. He knew there would be those who would oppose the gospel. And so he prayed not only that the Lord's word would have free course, be seen to be glorious as it revealed the one himself who is glorious, Christ himself as a Savior of men, but all those that would seek to hinder the gospel going forth, and would seek to hinder them in that work, that they'd be delivered out of that opposition. It is needful to pray. You turn, me please, to the book of Romans, the chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, he again requests a prayer, this time not from the Thessalonians, but from the Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. "Now I beseech you," or indeed "I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake," that's the motive for which we pray, "and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive, you labor fervently together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Oh yes, that he would be delivered again from opposition, which we've seen already, but that he would be accepted as he would preach the gospel, even among the believers, he'd be accepted, there'd be a unity, there'd be a harmony. "And also that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." This is what Paul desired. And this is what indeed our brother Glenn and indeed our sister Emma need as well. Be accepted by the people. Be delivered from enemies and wickedness. The word of God goes forth with free course among the young and among the older. You could also turn with me please to the book of Philippians. In chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation," is my deliverance, "through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Paul knew he needed the Spirit of Christ to do what God had called him to do. And he knew that it would come through the prayers of God's people. You just turn back a page, Ephesians chapter 6. After reading about the armor of God, in verses 10 through to 17, Paul exhorts the people in verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Is this not the need of our brother, that he'll speak boldly? He'll be faithful to the calling that God has given him? Yes, it is right to pray. God's looking for intercessors to make up the hedge, to fill up the gap, but it is needful to pray. There's other places you and I could look to. And I could look to the book of Philemon 1:22. We could look at Hebrews 13:18-19. You and I could see 8 different places where Paul requests of different churches and different groups of people, pray for us. Men and women, it is right to pray, but it's also needful to pray. On the video that we have heard that indeed our brother, Mr. Hamilton, and indeed Emma, his wife, they have got concerns how their children will find a move, how their children will settle, And the children will find the losing of their friends and indeed the making of new friends. Those are concerns that weigh heavy upon any parent's heart. You can appreciate that tonight. Pray for those things. They've got concerns. They also have needs. There's the educational need. As our sister Emma will take up homeschooling, new for her, daunting for her, as she looks after her three kids and seeks to homeschool them. There is the language need, learning of the Swahili, not to mention the culture. There is the travelling need. There are six churches in Glory Bible Church there in Kenya, and they all are distant from each other. And our brother Glenn will be asked to travel through them. Let's pray that the Lord will give them safety in travel. Even safety from physical sickness. Kenya's a different country to here, different bugs, different viruses. Pray the Lord will keep them safe. Pray for the emotional need. Leaving family whom they are so close to. Missing family when they're out there. Missing their birthdays and their Christmases. And realizing you can't just pop in for a cup of tea at the weekend if you wish. Pray for them. Pray against loneliness and discouragement. So many things to pray for. And pray for their spiritual walk with God. Missionaries are just normal people. Just as you and I struggle with our walk with God, so they will too. Pray that they'll ever see what they mentioned on that deputation video, that they'll ever see the work of God to be a privilege. The words of C.T. Studd and the truth of the gospel will ever come to them, that if Jesus Christ be God and died for them, then there's nothing that is too great for them to sacrifice for him. Pray they'll never lose that sight. They've got great desires. They want to see the bride of Christ grow there in Kenya, for souls to be saved, and for those that are saved to be matured in the faith. They want to see local pastors grow. Pray that the Lord will give Mr. Hamilton knowledge and how best to encourage the local pastors, wisdom to direct them and their congregations, and if it comes to many aspects of congregational life, including the election of office bearers. Pray the Lord will even provide more laborers so that the work of God can advance and spread throughout Kenya. Pray for great unity as the work of God advances. Pray for the salvation of souls. Pray for opportunities to preach the gospel. Surely and I can see even from the Apostle Paul, this great giant of the faith. This man who was a theologian, second to none. This man who was a great missionary. A man who was a great prayer warrior himself, who said that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved, willing even himself to be a castaway when they'd be saved. Paul was a great prayer warrior. Who else really would need to pray? And yet Paul requested, pray for us. This mighty man of God needed prayer. Oh yes, the prayer of Christ, but also the prayer of God's people. How much more every one of us, and how much more even our brother and sisters, they go. It is right to pray. It is needful to pray. And yet I close with this. It is powerful to pray. Why did the Apostle Paul ask the Thessalonians to pray for him? Because Paul knew the power of prayer. You turn with me, please, the book of Exodus, in chapter 17, the last place I ask you to turn to. Exodus chapter 17. In verse 8, the children of Israel have left Egypt, they're on their way to the promised land, and they come across a difficulty, an enemy. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and he took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Oh, it's true that this picture is Christ who's praying. But yet, Moses himself, in this context, was a man of God, simply a man. And as he prayed, the work of God advanced. But whenever his hands went down and his prayers stopped, the enemy advanced. God has only given one instrument through which the blessing of God will come, and that is prayer. Oh, it's true that God is sovereign. Yes, it's true. God's made his eternal decrees and plans that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But while God has made his sovereign plans, yet he works through the prayers of God's people. God's sovereignty and our responsibility, they do not contradict. God promised Abraham that after so many years, the children of Israel who were in bondage would be freed. But yet, did you notice that God only freed them from the land of Egypt when in Exodus chapter 2 they began to pray? These things don't contradict God's sovereignty and our responsibility. God promised Jeremiah that after 70 years the people would be delivered out of captivity. But yet, did you know that whenever God spoke to his prophets, he said, I will yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Prayer is powerful. It takes the will of God, it brings it to the throne of God, so that the will of God is done on earth. Now, women, it is right for us to pray, it is needful for us to pray, and it is powerful when we pray. Be encouraged. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. You and I can often have fits and starts when we pray, as one minister put it. Let us pray unceasingly. Let us pray continually, waiting patiently for the Lord. Just as Elijah's servant was told to go 7 times, and only then after that he began to see a cloud the size of a man's hand, let us pray continually. God's will is done. His promises are fulfilled. The kingdom of God is built. Let us pray fervently, for it is the fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Let us pray united. Let us pray together. Again and again we see in Scripture the word amen, and that is, yes, Lord, let it be. But the idea is that it's God's people to pray audibly. The people pray with them. Let us pray together here, as well as at our homes. Pray for the Lord's work. William Carey is known as the father of modern day missions. He founded the first Baptist Missionary Society. He translated the Bible into English. Bengali, Oriya, Assamese, Marathai, and Sanskrit. 6 languages. He started schools for impoverished children where they were taught reading, writing, accounting, and Christianity. He opened the first theological university. He accomplished so much. He went into the mine, but it was those that held the ropes at home. All that William Carey accomplished was accomplished through prayer. Not just his prayers, but the prayers of those at home. Men and women, why did the Apostle Paul ask the people to pray? Because it is right. God is looking for intercessors. Because it is needful. And because it is powerful. May you and I be those that fill the gap, make up the hedge, and stand before the face of God in prayer. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. Thank thee, Father, for it to my own heart. And I ask thee, Lord, that you would encourage us. Thank you, Father, for what our ears again have heard through this video. And Father, we thank you for the work which thou hast raised up in Kenya with Glory Bible Church. And Father, we pray for thy blessing upon it. Father, Mr. Hamilton and his wife have listed some of the concerns that they have. Father, give them the peace that passes understanding. May they know that as for thee, thy way is perfect. Lord, while they seek the salvation of the lost, Father, we pray even for their own children, that each one in the family will know Christ as their Savior. What a weight, Lord, that is upon any parent that their own children are saved. Oh, Father, we pray, may they not have added to their burden the weight of the lost among them, but, Father, even may they have that peace that their own children are saved. And, Father, may you give Mr. Hamilton wisdom, give him knowledge on how best to serve thee among the pastors, and thy will to help train future pastors, direction whenever it comes to the election of office bearers. In all of his work, Lord, he needs so much wisdom and so much help. give it to him. We thank you so much for the gifts you've given to him, many gifts. Use him as thine instrument. And I pray, Father, you'd be with our sister Emma as she seeks to teach the children, support her husband, and give her help, Lord. You know the cares and anxieties on her heart. Give her grace to fulfill Philippians 4, to be careful about nothing, but to take all her cares and cast them upon thee, knowing that you continually care for her. O Lord, draw so near. Keep them safe. Help them in their deputations. Bless even our brother on the Lord's day. Give a message and a word in season for us here as a congregation. Glorify thy name in their lives. And Father, may in years to come, may we hear great news of what thou art doing, of cords being lengthened, of stakes being strengthened. Or let it be. Souls being saved and your people growing greatly, and thee, Father, being glorified. Christ saying of the travel of his own soul and being satisfied. And what we pray for Kenya and for our brother and our sister, we pray for the work here. Oh, Lord, we thank you for encouragements, for souls saved. Oh, Lord, lead them on. Lead us all on. And for, Lord, that young man who inquired recently, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to him. Bring him through for Christ. Maybe a trophy of grace. In Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen.